Hello, we are Terra Nova, a horror podcast. We're hosted by Kendall and Jackie. And here we talk about everything, well, horror. And this podcast is specifically for you, the horror fans, and also the non-horror fans. If you're too scared to watch the movies, it's fine. We talk about it, we discuss it, we dissect it, we laugh about it, talk about the good, the bad, the tropes, and new episodes are launched every Monday.
And follow us on Facebook and Instagram at Terra Nova Pod. And leave a review, 5 stars, of course, on what platforms that you listen. And last but not least, tell a friend, tell a friend, tell a friend.
And tell your dog, too. Cujo. Hello.
What's going on, Jackie?
I'm good. For some reason, I don't know why, I started hearing the banana song from Beetlejuice in my head. I don't know why. So when I said hey, I was about to say ayo. I was just about
just
to
bring
do
it to dance, start
and then I
in the
stopped
sky.
Myself. Yeah, so I was like, let me stop. Let me not do
it. Don't freak Armin out, start floating around the house.
I mean, then he'll finally did not stop denying that there's things of ghosts and stuff in this whole spiritual world. So in denial about that. Like, this isn't real.
Oh, really?
Yeah, he does not believe it. I'm just like, bro, get with the times.
Is it because he ain't experienced nothing himself, or he's just like, this shit can't be?
Yeah, he's never experienced it. Unlike me, who experienced it all the time. And it's very unpleasant. I don't ask for it.
Oh, okay. That makes sense. I feel, you know, maybe one day you're going to have to trick him with some shit and he'll start believing. You have to, like, I don't know, like, when he's sleeping, just, like, hide under the bed and start shaking the bed or some shit.
Oh, God. Yo, my brother's dead to me. Not hiding under the bed, but he used to pretend that there was, like, a demon dog underneath our bed all the time. So he would, like, scratch the underneath the bed.
Oh, my God.
And make noises and pretend he's being dragged. Mind you, that scared the shit out of me as a girl.
That's not cool.
He did that to his kids, too. It's like, yeah, he used to always do that and scare us. And I'm just like, this is why I'm traumatized by my childhood.
That's fucked up. Oh, man.
Always did that to
That's
me.
So messed up.
Always. He'd be like, oh my God, oh my God. He would like literally throw himself under the bed. I used to freak out.
That's wild. That's hilarious as an adult. If I saw my friends do that now, I'd laugh my ass off. But if I saw that happened to some kids, I'd be like, yo, that's a bit much, man.
Childhood trauma.
It always starts at home. If every movie is told as anything, it always starts at home.
Oh my God, I'm glad I didn't drink my juice, because I would have just choked and I just would have died right there. That's it. End of podcast. End of episode. That is it. Thank you for coming. I died.
It's true. Every damn horror movie, every movie, you're like, oh, there's this crazy creature or this crazy killer out there. You'd be like, oh, what happened? Starts at home. He was like killing crickets or like his mom used to beat him when he ate soap or something. I don't know. It was always some weird, always some absurd thing. And then they'd be like, and now this is what he does. Now he's just a soap killer. You'd be like, what the hell? And it always starts at home.
This sounds like a really badly written sci-fi original film. You just wrote up a new storyline that they're probably going to produce right now.
Yes, his name is Mr. Clean. That's
right. Oh my gosh, shut up. Stop it.
Well, so they don't get sued, the Clean Man brought to you sci-fi originals.
Why? Why do you do this? Why do you do this?
You gotta keep it entertaining. Yeah, you know, you gotta keep moving feet. That's what. But
anyway, yes. Anyway, speaking about things starting at home.
Yes.
We're gonna be doing an interesting episode. It's not a review of a movie, it's a topic. A topic that Kendall and I have been wanting to do for a very long time since the beginning when we first started this whole podcast. And I am not joking. This doc, because we always, so a little insider how we do the podcast. We make up a Google Doc of whatever episode we're going to be doing, whether it's a movie or a topic. We pile it in with like a shitload of articles that we find for research that we're going to review or read back. This topic has been in the Google Doc for like since last year.
Yeah, I think since
it's
like
been
November
in the doc for, Yeah, since last year, and we never covered it. And then I was like, you know what? It's September, Hispanic Heritage Month. We have to do this topic because it just makes sense for this, particularly for this month. And
yep.
And the topic is gonna be religion and horror. And yes. It's a topic that honestly I feel like doesn't get talked about enough. And if it does, it needs to be talked about more often. Because religion in horror movies is such a big thing. You may think it's not, but it really is the way it's done.
Yeah. And it's something it's been on our minds for a while. When I first threw the idea in there, I mean, Rich just hit me like last year. I was like, we need to talk about religion. Like, not that it's something I go around being like, I want to talk about religion with people. But I was like, religion is such a big thing in horror.
Have you gotten time to talk about our Lord and Savior Hellraiser?
I know, right? Our Lord and Savior, the Babadook. Like, religion is just such a big topic in horror. It always has been. I'm not the most religious person by any means. But I know Jack, if they're dying about the Babadook. But it's always been such a religion's always been such a big topic in horror as like a whole. So I was like, yeah, we should kind of talk about this. Like, I don't know the angle we need to pull with this, but we need to talk about this. Oh man. But it's just something. Religion is such a big part of horror. For people who are religious and aren't religious, it just is. A lot of movies is like they're fighting Satan, or like the kid is a spawn of Satan, or the best way to describe an evil villain or evil monster of some sort, they like it's from hell or something like that, which is all of course Christian references for the most part. So it was just always something that was at top of mind, and I was like kind of curious about how just some of the research we could even do on it, because it is a big topic, and I was kind of curious how people view it, like people who are religious, people who aren't religious. It's just a lot to talk about. So before we even dive into all of it, and before I kill Jackie with laughter,
I'm still laughing.
I know you are. Before I kill Jackie,
I had to mute my mic for a while. I'm still fucking laughing. For those who don't know, but the reason why I mute my mic just now, because I literally almost choked on my juice. Once he said the Babadook, I literally just almost choked.
Oh, man. That is definitely a story to write for another time. But, before we get real deep into the topic, Jackie, what are some of your favorite horror movies or, like, religious themes? They don't have to be in a church or nothing like that, but just some of your favorites with religious themes that come top of mind.
I think the one that freaked me out the most, I mean, I talk about it before sometimes, like, you know, I'm Latina. Ooh, and growing up in a Spanish household, like, religion with us is a very touchy subject, and we're very superstitious about certain things, so certain movies we literally cannot watch that makes us uneasy. I would say the movie that actually utilized religion really well for me and freaked me out the most, that I only watched it once, I can never watch that shit ever again, is The Exorcism of Emily Rose. And that by far, I think is like one of my favorite.
I love that
favorite
movie.
Favorite movies that utilize religion. Yes. And it's sad because it's based on a true story as well.
Yeah.
But that one I really liked a lot. It scared the shit out of me. I was like, I'm already watching this once, never again. But I would say that one's like one of my favorites, because I mean, there's so many. But
yeah, sure. I really like that one as well.
Definitely that one. Yeah. What about you?
Yeah. Exorcism of Emily Rose. Once you mentioned that, I'm like, oh shit, I kind of want to talk about that, because I remember how much I really enjoyed that movie. But maybe we'll do it in a future episode. That could be great. One of my favorites, because, you know, doing research for this, we start going down memory lane, like, what were some of the ones that really, like, stuck with me that were, like, really, really good? And I really, really liked Constantine. And you know, I know some people say it's horror, some people say it's horror adjacent, as Jackie loves to say. I really liked Constantine. I'm always a big fan, from listening to, like, anybody who listens to multiple episodes of this podcast and hearing our discussions, you probably know. A lot of time, my mind just, it'd be working, not necessarily in black and white. I'm trying to think of, like, you know, the nuances of conversation, the nuances of, like, the meanings and stuff like that. And Constantine, the Keanu Reeves movie, even before I knew it was a comic or anything like that, It was really good. I thought it was really cool. It was really well done. It was visually, it was pretty scary. Like, it looked really, like, dark and grim. Yeah. And it didn't really hide from the religious aspect of it. It heavily leaned into it, but it also wasn't, like, afraid to talk about kind of the good and bad of it. Like, you know, on one aspect, Constantine uses magic and stuff. So it's like, you know, a lot of religious stories have magic kind of involved, even though they don't call it that. But he's using that. But then it didn't shy away from the fact that, like, this character committed suicide. And that he was kind of, like, condemned because of it. Because it's just, like, you're supposed to go to hell. So, you know, the way they explained it in that movie was, you know, Constantine basically found a way out of hell after killing himself. Because he was like, I can't do this shit. And then basically came back. And now he's fighting demons and stuff, hoping that one day he could eventually get into heaven. And he's doing all of these deeds of, like, killing demons and shit with the hope of getting into heaven. And I thought that was really interesting as, like, a concept of a character. And, you know, he would see all these creatures. It was just, like, visually, it was a cool movie. Keanu Reeves was really dope in it. And I just really loved, like, the nuance of the way they talked about religion in it. And that, like, film kind of always stuck with me in some way. So I really, really liked that.
Keanu Reeves is breathtaking. I just want to say that because he's just an amazing, beautiful person. He's just beautiful. I love you, Keanu Reeves.
Yeah, he seemed like a cool dude.
I love you a lot, Keanu Reeves. But no, yeah, Constantine was pretty dope. And yeah, it's funny because, like, I didn't realize it was also a comic until that movie came out. You know, the Hellblazer comic,
yeah.
You know, Constantine storyline. And then, you know, the only reason why I called it, like, horror adjacent is because certain movies like that is not considered horror, quote unquote, but everything is horror because the horror community has to stick up their ass. But I mean, Constantine, Justice League Dark, that's basically what he's part of. Justice League Dark is literally supernatural, and they do utilize religion a lot. I mean, look at Raven from Teen Titans.
Yep,
she's literally the daughter of Satan. She's just like, God can't help me. And it's just, yeah, but it's really interesting. And some of the articles that, you know, Kendall and I were reading and looking up on, was one of them primarily I want to talk about a lot, is the whole thing about utilizing religion as a fear tactic. The reason why I want to talk about that a lot is because, again, growing up in a religious household as a young child, I was traumatized by religion. My family made me watch movies like Left Behind, gave me all these booklets of, like, if you do this, you're going straight to hell. So I basically was brought up with that whole thing that anything I do, I'm gonna be sent to hell. Mm-hmm. I'm gonna be burned in hell. And because Left Behind is basically a film about the rapture. And I watched that at 6 years old.
Damn.
And I remember my siblings being like, you never know what's going to happen. It could happen tomorrow. That shit traumatizes you. And they did the same thing to my niece and nephew as a young child. They had nightmares about it. They were terrified of it. And all my family did was just be like, oh, you'll be fine. Ha 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 ha. Like, it's not funny. Like, that shit's scary. It's frightening. And a film that I feel that did that was Stigmata. 90s movie.
Yeah.
It had Patricia Arquette. This movie was actually really good because she was given a gift from a friend who took this totem from a dead body. And if you watch horror movies, even if you're not into horror and you know about faith, religion, or like just ancestry, and you're into that life, you know that's a big no-no. You never give someone a gift that belongs to a dead person. You don't do that. That's just bad juju.
Mm-hmm.
When she was given that, she basically started going through the sacrifice of Jesus. She was getting whipped by imaginary whips. She was having, like, shit stuck in her hands and her feet, like, as if she was on the cross. And the priest who was trying to save her was just like, oh, you have to basically commit to religion, blah, blah, blah. It's the only way you can say, because this is that. And she was just like, the fuck? Like, I didn't ask for this. I didn't ask for this to happen. And that's another example of, like, using religion for fear. And we see that a lot in horror movies. We really do see that a lot. And they utilize it and weaponize it as in, this is the only good that you're going to get. If you don't revert to this, you're going to be damned forever. and it's just really ridiculous.
Yeah, no, yeah, I agree. Like, I'm sure there are people who, you know, were part of a religion, probably not a part anymore, and they probably didn't experience as severe trauma dealing with their religion, so maybe, or maybe even just have better experiences with it. I know a few people who have good experiences with their religion, and that's cool, more power to them. Definitely ain't nothing against that. But yeah, there is totally something to be said about, like, using fear as almost like a recruitment tool to get people involved. Mm-hmm. There is a lot to be said for that. Where like, and I'm not against any religion at all, to tell you the truth. I'm kind of interested in all of them in their own way. Not that I mean I want to sign up. I'm just, like, interested in, like, people's beliefs. Belief systems are really interesting. But yeah, mm-hmm. using fear as, like, a recruitment tool is, like, really, really crazy and kind of the most used way we kind of see religion in horror films, in my opinion. Like, I feel like that's the most common mm-hmm. way we see it. Whether they're fighting a demon or just fighting anything, really. Like, just anything that's supernatural. 9 out of 10 times, there's always a point where someone goes, hey, we need to get a priest. Or we need to go to church. Like, there's always that, like, that moment in the story. Even for a movie I was watching recently on Shudder, what was that called? It was one that came out, I think, this year. I think it was called, like, Kadisha? Like that? I think it was, like, K-A-N-D-A-S-H-I. I think it was, like, a Muslim?
Oh, I think I know what you're talking about. Yeah, because I remember I mentioned that to you. Yeah. I think Bloody Disgusting. What up, Bloody Disgusting? I think they talked about it, saying that how it's deemed as one of the scariest films on Shudder. They kept recommending it to people. And then I told you about yeah. that. I was like, I haven't watched it. Let me know how it feels. Like, what you know, because, you know, I know you like to watch traumatizing movies. So,
you know. True that. But yeah, that movie's pretty good. I enjoyed it overall. And in that case, I think they use not a like Christian priest or anything like that. I think it was more of like a Muslim. I believe, yeah, more of a Muslim priest. Mm-hmm. So you see it from different angles. How like, how fear kind of ends up pulling people into these situations because they're facing something they just don't know how else to put it. They don't know what else to do with it. So they're just like, yo, we got to go get somebody who's involved in religion in some component. And sometimes it works out, so sometimes it don't. But I just think it is really interesting that fear, 9 out of 10 times, seems to be that, like, that hook. Whether it's, like, a fear of facing something that's supernatural, a fear of what the afterlife will be like because you didn't believe or because you do believe. Like, this is no knock against anybody, but a lot of the times, in my opinion, in conversation, not even my opinion, my experience, for a lot of people that I've spoken to who are religious, of even different types of religion, 9 out of 10 times, they're saying that they follow the belief that they follow because they're like, well, what's going to happen after I die? Which is like kind of a fear thing in of itself, mm-hmm. but it's a different kind of fear versus like, what if I had to fight Satan tomorrow? It's more of like, what would like life be like when there is no like physical life in this world? That can totally be a fear tactic as well. But those are usually the conversations I feel like people use, the points anyway. That people usually mention, I feel, when they speak of horror, I mean, they speak of religion in horror, or even religion in general. It's usually, I'm scared of what life would be like without religion, or I'm scared of what my afterlife would be like without religion. Which, all fair, mm-hmm. all reasonable, because we don't know what comes after this, but horror definitely utilizes that in most of their movies, I would say.
Oh yeah, most definitely. Like, they really do. And you're right about how, like, they always utilize something, like, even, Universal Monsters,
mm-hmm.
Dracula, you know, the method of killing Dracula is the cross. You know, they're like, oh, he can't touch you if you have a cross on. That's gonna protect you. And then once your cross comes off, full game.
Yeah,
you're full game. You're walking meat for him. And it's just really interesting how. And again, we read an article about that, about how religion is used as propaganda, and it is. It really is. let me see. What's another film? There's so many. Carrie.
Yeah.
I totally forgot about Carrie. Example.
Yeah, I forgot about it too.
Yes. That. And it's scary because I've. Again, Pentecostal Christians, like. Anyway. I've met my fair share of, like, fanatics. My family has met a fair share of fanatics. Where they literally take the book, just like the way her mom did in the film, and literally is like that in real life. And it's fucking scary. Very scary. Like, oh, you're sinning because you have your period. Oh my God, that was gonna want you now. It's like, what? Like, yeah, it's just, because I mean, again, I'm going to use myself as an example because, again, I went through a lot of religious trauma growing up. And we all did. My whole siblings did, whether they want to admit it or not. But I'm the only one that's like, no, we went through shit. For Pentecostal, like, we're not allowed to wear jeans. We're not allowed to wear shirts. It has to be long sleeve, long skirts. We can't wear red or black because that means that's the color of the devil. We only wear peach colors for nails. We can't wear makeup. We can't have our hair a certain way. You basically have to save yourself until marriage. You can't listen to any music that isn't not like Christian related. Even if it's like Christian rock, it's not no such thing. It's still the devil. Anything's the devil. And I literally was shunned from watching Harry Potter, from watching Pokemon, from all that stuff because that was like the devil. I love how Carrie kind of like showed that as well because you saw the way Carrie was dressed.
Yep.
Carrie was like in a full dress sweater up and down. Never showed her skin. Had knee socks, had Mary Janes. Her hair was always down. She kept to herself. You know, because her mother basically raised her that way. And then she kept trying to push that onto one of the girls' mother. Of like, has she gone to church? You should try this and that. And it's just like, girl, you crazy. But people are like that in real life.
Yeah, no, for sure.
And that is a perfect example of religion trauma with Carrie. Perfect example of that. And I totally forgot about that.
Same. I forgot about that. Because I haven't seen that movie in a while. I remember loving it, and I actually enjoyed the remake as well, surprisingly. The remake was actually pretty decent.
Same, yeah.
But, yeah, I forgot about that, too. And in Carrie's case, which I know we're going to do at some point,
they're all going to laugh at you.
Her doing what happened?
They're all going to laugh at
yeah.
you.
Yeah, when she, like, you know, discovered her powers and all that and started using it, it's kind of like her powers are almost like a great release. Like, it's just a release of, like, yeah. you know, kind of acknowledging who you are instead of just running away from it, which I know is always really common in, like, stories where, like, the lead is a woman a lot of the time because, you know, almost every religion for the most part, I'm not going to say every because I don't know every religion that's ever existed, but almost every religion for the most part does in some way try to, like, you could argue limit women's potential. Like, it's like, hey, can you kind of just, like, hide yourself a little bit more or could you, like, not stand out as much, which is really shitty and, in my opinion, anyway, and I hope the people listening agree. Like, I've always been of the thinking that women should be doing the same thing that men do because we all fucked up. So we shouldn't really pretend that any one part of our species is one less fucked up than the other. Like, we all have issues. We all got things we dealing with. We all got demons we fighting, quote unquote. So I've always felt like that limitation that religion sometimes provided women. Was a bit much. I felt like it was a bit too much because it kind of, this is at least a discussion I usually have when I talk to my friends about things like that. You know, with guys and religion, a lot of time religion says, hey, women, like, bow down to the man who's in front of you, submit, like, you know, kind of like deal with his problems, hide yours. You're supposed to be kind of like the peacemaker and the peacekeeper of, like, his existence. It's, like, really weird. But for a lot of dudes that end up talking to, who do feel that way about it, about religion, or even if they're not religious and hold those kind of views, it's always bothered me because I've always felt like that it puts women in a position of, like, not being adults. It puts them in a position of almost being children, but children that take care of adults because they want them to take care of men. So it's like a very, very weird relationship when you write these, and I'm not trying to, like, shit talk the Bible or the Quran or anything like that, but I just think it's very weird when the subtext for a lot of these books and stuff like that and religions say, like, hey, women are supposed to kind of mute themselves around men, but at the same time take care of men. Because it's like, that's what you tell children, is to, like, kind of stay in your place. But you can't really tell a child that and then expect that child to take care of you. I always thought that was really weird. But I wasn't the one who wrote them, so I'm not so I'm not really the one to speak on it. I just always thought that was weird, because I wasn't raised in a household where religion was a big part of it. Like, yeah, we would say, like, you know, bless you and thank God and stuff like that, but, like, we weren't, like, a going to church type. We weren't, like, a you gonna go to hell for everything you do. Like, my father's the one who introduced me to horror movies. Him and my mom used to watch horror movies. So it wasn't that kind of experience at all. So I guess due to the outlet of, like, not being pressured in that way, I kind of got to shape my own view about some of these things. And that was just always my kind of takeaway from religion. So it always kind of bothered me. That's always main things that bother me.
And you know what's interesting about the way any book is written, whether it's Catholicism, my religion, Pentecostal, baptism, the Quran, is all written by men. You do realize that, right? Like, throughout,
that I'm sure.
It's all written by men. And I remember one time, I think a couple years ago, there was an article where a woman, she decided to live her life the way a woman's supposed to, based on the Bible, just for an experiment purpose. Just to see what it would be like. And she was just like, I understand, but at the same time, I'm glad we have rights. Because it's very, like, it's disgusting. A lot of the cultures are like that, too. Like, even now, we always say that how, like, the old-timers still believe in that whole notion of, like, no, like, the man comes first. Their feelings come first, and blah, 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 blah. I mean, that's also generational trauma. And I remember we talked about that with Violet when she came on for La Llorona. Yeah. That's generational trauma that's slowly being reversed, and religious trauma is also part of that trauma as well, that's embedded into us, primarily the girls. And I've always said it, that how, like, in any person of color household, depending how you're raised, you're always raised that with that whole notion of boys are kings and girls are servants. That is the way we're raised. The men can never do no wrong. They can cheat. They can hit a woman. They're still not wrong. We can't do any of that shit. If they do, we're the problem. We did something wrong. Or we deserved it for some reason. We have to apologize. Because we're the servants. We're meant to serve. That's what we're born for. And it's just ridiculous.
It is. And it's just weird. It's really weird, right? Like, it's mm-hmm. weird. And it's even weirder when you see it in film. Because, like, I know people talk about the aspect of, like, damsels in distress and all of that, and, like, you can definitely look at the Conjuring series, right, which is supposedly based on a true story mm-hmm. of, like, Ed and Lorne. I'm gonna say supposedly true because we weren't there, and because everybody mm-hmm. has mixed views about that couple in real life and in fiction, so that's what I'm gonna say, supposedly true story. Like, you look at their relationship, like, the wife is the one who has the psychic abilities, but she's saved a lot of the times by the husband. Which, like, granted, it's caring, right? Like, I'm pretty sure I would jump in front to, like, prevent any danger that happens to, like, my lady before anything else or anyone as well. So it's not anything like that. But it's like, she's the one with the psychic abilities, the one with this connection that can make this thing happen. He's not even, like, really the muscle or anything. He's just, like, he's, like, kind of, like, her partner, but at the same time, he's, like, the protector. It was, like, a very interesting mm-hmm. dynamic there in, like, the last movie, which I actually was not a fan of. The Devil Made Me Do It, like, and people joked and said, this whole movie is him walking around screaming her name, which it kind of was. It was just him being like, Lorraine. It was like, yo, she was always in danger, and he was always on the way. I was like, dude, like, I can't believe I'm sitting through 2 hours of this. But that's beside the point. The whole Danzo thing is, like, it's kind of a weird part of that religious aspect in a weird way, and it's weird how it all kind of fits together.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because, like, I mean, that kind of goes into the relationship between religion and gender. Majority of the times when we see these films where religion is the focus of the film, whether religion is the enemy or religion is trying to be the savior, it's always women that are being the possessed.
That is true.
You know, like in Rec, you know, the source of the virus was a possessed girl. What else? The Exorcist. A possessed child, a girl, you know, the Exorcism, Emily Rose, a woman, you know, in the Conjuring, it's always a female, a mom, a child, even, what else? Like, Carrie's a girl,
so many of them.
There is so many. There's a lot.
I feel like the main one I could think of that's a guy is, like, the Omen, and then the Omen, it's different because it's like, supposed to be like the spawn of Satan, so it's almost like the kid is more mm-hmm. so empowered by his abilities versus being, like, burdened by them, which that's an argument of itself. That's a discussion of itself, right? Like, about the fact that even this little kid who's, like, quote unquote the spawn of Satan is kind of empowered by its abilities versus the little girl in The Exorcist who is clearly kind of being tormented by the powers that are presented mm-hmm. to her. Very weird.
Also, Rosemary's Baby.
Rosemary's Baby.
You know, she was chosen by a satanic cult to bore the children, to bore the child of Satan. You know, she didn't ask for that. She didn't want that. And it's so interesting in these films that it is always a female that suffers from it. I mean, we talked about it briefly in the feminism of horror, how like the woman always has to go through shit. She always has to suffer to later emerge as this like goddess, yeah. This being, yeah, of like, I made it, I survived. Even Jennifer's body,
yeah,
you know, she was possessed by a succubus. She didn't ask for that; it just happened. You know, it's really interesting, but also really sad. And there's another film too that talked about it. Oh, Veronica, also a woman,
oh, yeah, Veronica.
A female being possessed. There was this found footage, like, movie. I forgot what it was called. And their whole method of the whole religion was the fact that... And the way they did it actually scared the shit out of me.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's something that we believe in as well. Where it was just, like, kind of similar to what Rec did with the whole viral thing. Where if someone becomes possessed and if you come in contact with them or look at them, it latches onto you. And I spoke about this before briefly when I did Rec, because that's something that's kind of bred into us as well growing up. How if someone's getting an exorcism or if someone's being preyed on the church and you see them screaming, lashing out, you need to close your eyes and not look at them. Because if you look at it, it's going to latch onto
you. I've heard of that.
We're literally taught that. Yeah, and it's a frightening thing. It's scary to think about because you're just like, oh my God. And I forgot the name of the film, but they talked about that and they showed that in a sense.
I think one of the VHS movies
where it became a theme. Yeah, and it's that I feel like it's clever because it's based on something that's quote unquote real. I mean, real to mm-hmm. me, because that's what I was brought up to believe in. But also in a way where it's like a chain letter.
Yeah.
You know, like if it has to continue on or something happens.
Remember chain letters? Remember that? That was a thing for a while.
Yeah.
People used to send scary yes. chain letters through email and be like, if you don't send this to 10 people, this demon or creature is going to appear on your ceiling at night and kill you. Remember that shit? that was mm-hmm. wild.
Yeah.
Interesting time.
And throughout the movie, majority of it is women. You know, there's some men, of course, but majority of it is always women. And it's just like, why? Why is it that? And I think that goes back to the whole, like, Adam and Eve. Eve was the one that basically took from the apple and then therefore, boom, you know, she had to suffer the most. And he was just like, why did you do that? And they were like, why did you do that? And she's like, I don't know. I got tempted.
Yeah, it definitely.
And like, even certain Bibles, like women are always considered as the, what is it? The Jezebel, this and that, the temptress. And it's just like, it's really ridiculous. And it's kind of tiring. You know, it's very tiring. But then you have films like the one we covered, La Llorona, where they use kind of religion and reverse it as a revenge story. Even in, like, you know, Rec, where the villain of the film was, you know, Catholicism.
Yeah.
Like it's clever when people do that, where it's just like, I'm going to take this and then reverse it so that it's not the savior this time. And when that happens, that adds more conversation pieces.
Yeah, those are definitely the more, I would say, interesting versions of it versus, you know, it just being as simple as like, yo, there's a demon, use a cross, and we can get out the shit real quick. Which a lot of times exorcist mm-hmm. films, not like the exorcism specifically, but exorcism films kind of hit that note. Where it's just kind of like, yeah, we know you get the holy stuff. We've resolved this shit. You know, the Conjuring films pretty much are like that every time for the most part. There's mm-hmm. a spirit. It wants to kill people. Here's how we're going to resolve it. We use these things. But there's not much more nuance to it than that. Because it can't, I don't know, maybe it can be that simple. But a lot of times I would think generally isn't. And I'm assuming, this is just my opinion, but I'm assuming that the reason why they use women a lot of time is in the way, same way that they kind of use children. Where it's almost like latching something on to someone that's perceived as like innocent, or someone that like almost neutrally would be considered innocent, kind of changes the danger. You know, like latching a demon to a kid is like taking away the kid's innocence. I think they do a similar, they try to do a similar thing, I think, with women a lot of the time is in horror movies, where they think latching the creature onto them kind of removes the innocence. But I think in some way, they probably also thinking, like, the demon's interactions are almost like the women's true ambition. So I think it's really like a double tell the way people try to use women being possessed in film. So it's really interesting. Because you look at, like, even The Exorcist, right? Like, the things that the demon was doing while it was possessing the girl, between, like, you know, the crazy masturbation scene and all of that shit, you like, what the fuck is this? Like, y'all wildin', like, there's a lot happening here. And people was definitely freaked the fuck out when that movie came out. I still love to go on YouTube and look at the clip when people was like, their first reactions to the movie, people was passing out. That shit was crazy. I was like, wow, I kind of wish I could have experienced that firsthand, because that seemed like just a unique time in history. But yeah, it seemed like a lot of the things that they were doing, they do with women when they're possessed, seems like they're almost trying to, like, show a woman's dark side, which is kind of interesting, but kind of weird. I just always hope for more nuance in it, because I like, you know, like some of his articles say, some of this stuff can be interpreted, as you even mentioned, as just straight up propaganda for a religion. It could just be interpreted as that, like, you know, somebody could see some of these films and just go, well, I guess I just need God in my life, and then all of this shit would be good. Like, that's the takeaway. Versus, like, the conversation being a little more nuanced than that, and just being like, I don't know, maybe it's just belief as a whole, not necessarily in a particular being, but just belief as a whole is what makes this thing work. Like, I know a movie that was a good example of that was I think it was called The Last Exorcism. I don't know if you saw that one.
I've heard of that. Yeah.
That was the one with the guy who was a priest.
I haven't seen it, but yeah.
If I recall, I think that was the title. That one was pretty good. I actually did like that one. It was like this guy who was a priest, and he would like, you know, do exorcism and stuff, but he was really faking it. Like, he would set up, like, shit in people's houses and stuff. Like, people would call him and really be like, they're possessed. And he would set up, like, weird contraptions and shit, kind of like booby trap their house to make it seem like they're possessed. And then he would do all of this stuff, and then a person would claim to be, like, clean when he were done. But he was, like, lying. He was just conning people to get money. But that movie kind of in the middle, near the end, kind of, they, not to really spoil the whole thing, they kind of float with the idea of, like, religious artifacts only really working if you actually believe. Like, you can't just be faking it. And I thought that was really interesting. That's really interesting to me.
Yeah, and, I mean, that whole statement right there, like, it only works if you believe in it, that kind of goes back to, like, voodoo and hoodoo, where, I mean, the Skeleton King talked about that as well, and the Skeleton King is a great film that talks about hoodoo and voodoo and the basics of, like, it only work if you believe in it. And the same thing, like, that's basically the essential of any religion, you know. People who do, like, moon magic with the candles, like me, I do my candles, I have, like, my stones and all this stuff. Like, it only works if you believe in it and if you let the universe do it for you. And that is true. That's a really true statement. But, you know, it's so funny because, like, there's a quote from an article that I thought was really good, and it kind of ties in with the whole, like, if you believe in God, that's it, you're saved. And a quote that said that how God is good, but he is tragically failable at basically, like, saving you. Because even in The Exorcist, I mean, there's, like, three films.
Yeah.
Each time they try to save her, it just gets worse and worse and worse. And then eventually it's just like, okay, she's good, she's saved. And then she's back to it in the sequel. It gets worse and worse and worse. And then she's saved. And then she's back to in the third one.
Well, damn.
Same thing with The Conjuring. Yeah, and the same thing with The Conjuring. Or even the Amityville Horror. There's so many different variations of the film. And different variations of how the house was just so cursed and haunted. And no matter who went in it, they were just, like, doomed to go through shit. And it's interesting because, again, like, the reason why I mentioned how Emily Rose was my favorite film that focused on religion. Because, yes, it's based on a true story. But also, I like how it ended, because she wrote a letter before she died in the film, because she knew what was going to happen. You know, the priest was trialed for murder because they weren't giving her the help she needed. They were like, oh, she's just crazy, she's not possessed, fake, whatever. And in the film, at the trial, she had a letter where she was just like, you know, people want to talk about, you know, religion and God and you believe in him, but I just showed you the devil through me, and you still don't believe it. I just physically showed you what it looks like and what it does to me. And that's a film that no one is saved.
Yeah.
No one is saved. She dies. you know? And that, again, that is one of my favorite films.
Same.
Because it kind of shows the realism of that. Same thing with John Constantine. Like, I mean, yeah, Constantine was a great film because he talked about how, like, heaven and hell is literally right behind us, above us, next to us. It's everywhere. And it's movies like that that I love how they really show the realism of it and not just the whole fantasy of like, well, if you do this, then you'll be safe. Because that kind of goes back when people say like, oh, I feel sick. I might have cancer. Well, then just pray of it. Pray on it. It'll go away. Like, no, it doesn't work that way. Yeah, you know, prayer can only do so much. Like, you kind of need doctors. You can say the doctor was godsend. Fine. Believe that. Great. But you need actual help. You know, you can't just say, well, I'll just pray on it. Like, no, like, you need real help.
Yeah,
you
do know? Both. Do the work and pray.
Exactly.
Do what you gotta do and pray.
Have you ever seen The Unborn?
No, I haven't, but I've heard a little bit about it. And I think it was remade, wasn't it? Like twice?
Yes, variations. And that also is like propaganda. Because The Unborn is basically about a girl who's haunted by this demon child, and the demon child happens to be her unborn child that she aborted.
Well, fuck that, goddamn.
And that also is a fear factor, a fear tactic, because again, every time people talk about abortion, it's just like, well, if you have one, you're going to hell. And it's just like, no, we're not gonna, no. And films like that has been made several times in different languages. There's one that's in Cambodia. I think there's one in China and one in Japan as well as a film like that. And then, of course, here we had so many as well. And it's funny how films like that is only done like once every like 12 years over here in the States because it's such a touchy topic. You know, and when people find out what kind of film it really is, they're just like, huh, I see what you did there. And I did not like that.
Yeah, knowing that now, I don't want to watch it. Mm-hmm. Knowing that now. Like, I remember seeing a trailer for, I think, one of the remakes, like, probably, like, over 10 years ago. And I was like, oh, cool, you know. I was like, oh, cool, horror movie. So I was, like, going to give it a watch at some point. I forgot. I think somebody was in it that I actually liked. So I was like, oh, I'll give it a watch. But I never got around to it. But knowing that that's what it's about, I don't care to watch it now. That sounds really lame. It's just, like, you know, create a movie to just basically punish a character for a decision they made like that. That sounds really lame. And society kind of does enough of that already. I don't think people need...
For real.
I think that's always been one of my biggest problems with a lot of, like, people's... Not even just religion, but people's really, really absolute thinking about how society should work and how people should move in society. My biggest problem has just always been, like, do what you want to do. Don't force to shit on other people. Like, that's really always been it. If you're against abortion, that's cool. Don't get one. But there are other people who aren't, and allow them to live their life and do what they're going to do. Simple as that. If you mm-hmm. want to take Tupac method and be like, only God can judge me, then that's fine. Let them make the decisions they make, and they'll deal with whatever comes with making the decision they made. But you ain't got to be the one to tell them. That's really how I've always looked at it.
Exactly.
Especially when you look at a lot of the times, these things have touched all types of issues, right? Like, you touched, interracial dating wasn't a thing for a long time. Like, it was always a thing historically. People always did it. But, like, I mean, like, socially acceptable, it wasn't always there. But now people just like, yo, man, dude, I don't give a damn who you fucking, like, date, who you going to date. But at one point that wasn't acceptable, at least socially, that wasn't acceptable. You know, think about, there's so many things now that weren't socially acceptable at all. Remember, people didn't talk about masturbation like people do now. People just joke about it now. Every comedian cracks a joke about it. Every TV show or sex-related show has a joke about it. Like, that used to not be a thing that people mentioned, let alone sex, which is still, like, a taboo thing to talk about in a lot of ways in this country. But we've definitely come past mm-hmm. that. There's some countries that are more open about it. So, it's always just been weird to me to have such an absolute belief, but then to make somebody else do it, try to force someone else to do it, and then, like, society starts changing to being like, yo, we really don't have to do it like that. And people go, all right, well, I guess it's kind of cool. So, it's like, yeah, believe those things, man. If you want to believe it, if you want to believe in Satan, yo, that's you. I wouldn't recommend going out here and stabbing nobody. But if that's what you want to believe in. Because, there, you know, it's funny. There actually is. I remember reading this, think about it, last year or something. You know, because the election stuff, religion is always, people try not to act like it's not, but religion is tied very heavily into the American dream, into American being, and being an American. Religion is tied very heavily into that, which is why it's no surprise that it's a big part of our movies. But there was some lady I remember reading about last year. She said because of all the stuff that was going on in the country, and like she didn't agree with the way things were moving, you know, not just because of the president, but just because there's a lot of things that would happen in the country she didn't agree with, she joined the Church of Satan. And there was like this whole article about it on I think it was Vice or something like that. It was a whole article about it. And I was like, hold up, what? She was like, yeah, I turned to the Church of Satan. And I was like, I need to read this. What the hell? And she basically was talking about how the reason why she joined the Church of Satan, the Satanic Church, is because the Satanic Church, at least the one that she joined, isn't necessarily what most people believe Satan is. Like, you know, everyone says he's like super evil and all of that stuff. He's like, the Satanic Church that she joined is just basically a church that rebels against social norms. So like they're pro-abortion and then they're pro, you know, like gay marriage and all of that stuff and women's rights. And like they're just pretty much against, more so rebelling against society's quote unquote norms versus just being like going, you know, like some satanic panic shit without here stabbing people. Like, it's not that. She more so joined them because they're more so rebelling against what society is considering normal. And it's actually more, she's finding more equality in that church than she did regularly in society, which I was just kind of like, all right, lady. Like, I feel you. If that's the route you want to take, I understand. Like, if that's really what you're in it for, then who am I to tell you don't go there? As long as you ain't going around stabbing people and nothing crazy like that, more power to you.
Oh, yeah. For real. Yeah, because, like, I mean, in real life, I feel like people who are like, again, I've come across these people as well my whole life growing up, where you get those people who will talk about how religion is great, it's wonderful, and they'll try to put it on you, but then they'll only go to church like Sunday and then be a whole different person outside. And it's just like,
those people exist.
You're such a hypocrite. Like, you're such a hypocrite. Like, you're telling me I have to do this, but you do it yourself. And it's just, and it's crazy because, like, I'm kind of going to get off topic because, again, it's religion. You know, in the Bible, it's a sin to divorce. In the Bible, it's a sin to stare, you know, at the opposite sex. It's a sin to masturbate. It's a sin to do all that stuff, but yet we do them, you know? And there are couples, married couples, who basically go through so much trauma, so much abuse, that never divorce because they're just like what they were brought up with, the whole religion part. And it's just like, that needs to change. Or even women who basically want to have a child but can't have a child the traditional way, that's also judged from the church. And they're like, well, if God didn't want you to have a child, then don't have a child. And it's just like, that's very selfish and also very, very problematic to tell somebody what they can and cannot do. That's my whole gripe with religion. Like, I don't like that. And then you have horror films that kind of take all that stuff, and then they'll utilize it and put a story behind it and use it to put it in your face and say, see, this is why this is wrong and this is why this has to change. And I feel like we only get this with foreign films, because foreign films are the only ones that are able to have the balls to talk about it. We can never talk about that over here in the States. We never can. And you know this, because every religious movie that's based on religion is always a happy ending of, like, I was saved. And if there isn't, it's just like, well, you see, she was damned forever because she didn't believe.
Yeah.
Whereas over there, it's like they use it as in, this is why this is wrong, this is why we shouldn't do this. And it's so interesting, the difference between cultures and how they do that and how they view that.
Yeah, for sure. I feel like probably some of some of the movies that kind of are more in a line of what you're like looking for, that like aren't necessarily just happy ending for the sake of being a happy ending, are usually either like independent films, like not stuff that usually ends up being like really mass released or anything like that. I remember one good example that comes to mind, which is like, I'm not even sure if I classify it as horror, but this movie was fucking good. I remember seeing it on Netflix years ago. I think it was a Kevin Smith movie. Surprisingly, Kevin Smith. It's called Red State. I don't know if it's a Red State.
No, I've never seen it. I've heard of it, but I haven't seen it.
That movie is wild as fuck. I would highly recommend it to anybody who has not seen it. That movie is wild as shit. And I don't mean wild like gory or nothing like that. It's just crazy. It's just crazy. I haven't seen it in a long time, so I don't remember all the details of it. But the quick and gritty summary of it was basically, it's like these, what, three or four teenagers or something like that. They're like, you know, online dating and stuff like that, and they're trying to meet like girls to sleep with and stuff like that. And they like meet some girl who's like, oh, all three of you can come or whatever. And they're like, what? So they all, these three dudes show up to like sleep with this girl, and then like I think she like drugs them or something, and they wake up like in his church. Yeah, you know, of course it ain't gonna go down like that. She like drugged them or something, gave them a drink or something. They wake up in like this church tied up, and these people are praying over them with shotguns. And they basically end up in like the middle of like this fucking commune, this cult that believes the rapture is coming. And the like 90% of the movie is this massive shootout between like the FBI and this cult that believes that the rapture is on its way. The movie is fucking insane. It was just like, it was Kevin Smith's way of showing you like what a religious fanatic can look like. And the movie was crazy. It was really, really fun. Really good movie overall, but that shit was crazy as fuck. and I wouldn't say necessarily had a happy or sad ending. It was just like definitely one of those in between holy fuck type movies. It was crazy. It was crazy from beginning to end. So yeah, but that movie, as far as I recall, wasn't really, if it wasn't theater, it wasn't in many, it must have been like a small release for it. But it was a really interesting film. But yeah, as you said, yeah, a lot of times I guess you could say the good guys win when it's kind of like religion involved in American horror movies. So I guess that's just the way we're used to it, unless it's something really, unless it's just something different. Like, you know, even sometimes in horror movies, to show you how strong a creature will kill a priest or something like that, to kind of show you that their abilities don't really work here, which I think is an interesting thing from time to time. Not necessarily the killing priest thing, but just, I think it's interesting when a creature kind of appears, but then kind of makes it clear to the viewers and to like the people in the movie, like, religion really doesn't have a footing here. Like, this is something you're going to have to figure out in an entirely different way. Sometimes the movie kind of makes you, the main characters even have to kind of delve into the world of the creature to be able to stop the creature. Like, what was it? Jennifer's body? I forgot how they had to stop her. Yeah, stab her in the heart.
Yeah, they had to stab her in the heart so that way she could be free of the succubus inside of her.
Yeah, in some movies they'll be like, oh, you have to get a specific animal's blood or something and then stab them. So, like, it's kind of funny how sometimes even like the Christian or just like religious aspects of it kind of has to fall into almost like a cultish kind of thing for you to actually prevent the creature from killing anybody else versus just kind of relying on God. Mm-hmm. so we get a little bit of everything, but I don't know, with that said, are you, based on your opinions anyway, do you feel like you would say most horror movies are pro or anti-religion? How do you think you fall on that?
I feel like some movies try to push the agenda. Not so much pro or anti, but try to push it. I mean, I know there are some Christian people who think it's very anti, like, well, that's not how it is, and blah, 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 blah. I am offended. I feel like it tries to push that narrative a lot, depending on what they're talking about. Because, again, to this day, people still believe about the whole, like, be careful of that because it's going to latch on to you. Don't go to here, it's going to latch on to you. Don't watch that, it's going to latch on to you. Like, everything that says evil is going to latch on to you, basically.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, I feel like these movies kind of push the agenda, especially when it comes to certain topics. Like, The Unborn, Stigmata, The Exorcism, Exorcism of Emily Rose. The found footage I was talking about, from the title, the name is called The Devil Inside. They kind of push that whole agenda.
Yeah,
I heard that. Yeah, like, they try to push that, like, be like this. I feel like it could be both. Because then you have films like Paranormal Activity 5, where they kind of show the whole ritual of Santeria, which scares the shit out of me. That's the one thing I don't fuck with. I'm just like, hell no. I mean, I know people who practice it and don't do it, use it maliciously, but for those who do, I mind my own business about it. And I'm just like, not my business. I don't want to get involved. and they kind of show it in a cultist malicious type of way where it's scary. Then I could see why people would be like, well, that's anti this and this. Yeah, because then they'll be like, well, that's this. And it's funny because, like, when I think of the term, like, anti-religion, I think about how movies use it, like I mentioned before, like, they weaponize it for something evil. Like if someone's just like, well, this is voodoo, this is hoodoo, this is bad. When really those practices aren't really evil. You know, those practices, I mean, yeah. That's a whole conversation for like another day because that could last on for hours. But little summary about it for those who may not know is that originated in Haiti. And of course, you know, West Africa, where that they use that to a means of like healing, protection, you know, to ward off evil. And if it came off malicious, it's because, well, it's karma. They're doing it times three to you if you do something shady to them. That's just karma. That's nothing malicious. That's just like trying to protect their sanity. And the same thing with like, you know, witchcraft, like brujeria or santeria. You know, we use that for protection, for cleansing, for purity, you know, to ward off evil. And that's what I think of when I hear like anti-religion, when they use those practices in films, especially horror film, and utilize it as an, well, this is bad, this is the devil.
Yeah, well, I get what you mean.
Yeah, and an example of that is films who focus on the occult, like Hereditary,
yeah,
or Midsommar, or Wicker Man, you know, where it's just like, what the fuck? Like, what? Again, Ari Aster, are you okay? But yeah, like, it's scary because if you're not familiar with that culture, you're seeing it from an outside lens, you think, oh my God, those people are crazy. Whereas the people who actually know about that culture are just like, that is not how it is. Like, why are you exaggerating this? This is not how the festival goes. We don't do that. What?
Yeah, I get what you mean. It's basically the directors are relying on your fear of the unknown when you're introducing that stuff.
Yes.
Like they're relying on you not being super familiar with these different things, with hoodoo, voodoo, and all of these different cultures that practice in their own way. They're relying on that to kind of scare you. Yeah, you know, that's actually a really good point. I'm actually surprised we didn't get to that one sooner. But because, yeah, how many films do you see where they go, oh, this book is written in Latin, which is like a dead language. And people go, ooh. Yeah, like, dude, it's just a language. Like, I don't think the language was made by Satan, was it? Like, it's just a language. Mm-hmm. But that does seem to be a pretty common theme in a lot of films. They'd be like, oh, this is definitely satanic because it's written in Latin or something like that. You're like, ah. The voodoo stuff is like you said, that's a much larger conversation. And it's definitely, I think, a reason why I always mention that movie to you, Voodoo Child, that so we definitely gonna cover that at some point. That movie definitely touches on like, you know, like you said, the uses of like voodoo and like how it can be positive or negative. Like everything else, right, in the world. It's like, you know, yin and yang. What is yin and yang? The whole thing is like, you know, the positive and the negative. Like both have to exist. You can't just have one. You have to have both. So it makes sense that would apply even in pretty much, honestly, all religions, not just one or the other, because how many horror movies are there where there's like a crazy Christian priest or some shit like that? Like he's doing something absurd, even with like the blood of Christ or something like that. So the good and the bad definitely seems to have to exist in all of these religions. So that's a really interesting thing. But I like what you said, though. You said, yeah, when you think of anti, you usually think of how other cultures, religions are interpreted. And that's a really good point. That's probably not talked about enough, honestly.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, like, it's just... And there's a movie, too, that kind of reminds me of Constantine. I think it's also based on a comic that came out years ago, where it was very apocalyptic. Like, there's demons happening, but really it was angels that were possessing the living. And
Legion?
The reason was because, yes, that is a fucking good movie.
Yeah.
Because I know some people didn't like it, primarily, like, really, like, they knew what they were trying to do with it. They knew what the message they were trying to say about it. Kind of propaganda, but also I like how they did it, where their whole reason of turning the world upside down was because man had lost faith in God. They lost their ways. So there's no saving them. Let them suffer. Let them die. And if not, then we're going to do it. And it was just very interesting. I mean, I think that part people didn't like because they were like, but angels supposed to be on our side. And, you know, again, yin and yang. You know, sometimes, you know, you never know what they're trying to say to you.
Yeah.
You know, but and it was just interesting. That whole movie, I mean, yeah, Legion's based on a comic, but it was just like, huh, I get what you were doing. But also that it was kind of propaganda because they kind of pushed the notion of like, no, there's still humanity in the world. Humans can change. I mean, it's 2021. Have we though? I mean, have we realistically? Have we?
Well, I think part of it also in that movie. Part of it was, I think the child that was going to be born was supposed to be a part of saving humanity. So yes. That was part of the reason that the angels, because I think God like favored humans. They were just kind of like, nah, fuck that. Fuck him and fuck that child. So they were kind of coming down to get rid of the child because they believed the child was going to be a part of restoring humanity in some way. And I think Michael was the main one that was helping them. Michael the Archangel? Yeah, yeah.
It was Michael.
He was the one that was helping.
Yeah, and Gabriel was just like, fuck this shit. I'm going to wreck shit. And I'm just like, damn, Gabriel, calm down, okay?
Well, calm down. I think it's always cool, though, when they do stories where, like, where angels are kind of dicks. Like, it's... Just to kind of not paint them as like picture perfect, because I remember even the show Supernatural did that with angels. I used to love that show. I used to watch the show every week for sure. For like, they introduced the angels in that show around like season 3, and the angels were assholes. like one of them was pretty neutral, but overall the angels for the most part were assholes. Whenever they came in contact with the brothers on that show, like Hunt Demons at the Winchesters. Angels were dicks, and it was like they weren't even really bad guys or they weren't even really good. They were just kind of like in between, but they were just assholes. They were just like super, they were assholes because they were just super absolute in their thinking. Like they were like, we have to do these things these very specific ways, and if these things don't happen these ways, we're gonna probably have to kill somebody because it needs to happen this specific way. So even in that show,
that's pretty much
how they were. And even in that show, they had like a very specific prophecy that was supposed to come to fruition. And the brothers are like, nah, we can't let that happen. Like, I wouldn't do that. And they were just like, no, y'all gonna do it because, like, that's how it's written. So that's kind of what made the angels assholes in that show. So, but it was really interesting how they made that work.
And it's funny because, like, this is something that's talked about in the realm of, like, I guess, brujeria and, like, stuff that is practiced, like, hoodoo voodoo, mm-hmm. versus, like, you know, the whole notion of letting the universe do its magic. And if you fight it, it's gonna cause chaos. And I always joke about that with my friend whenever she's like, I'm just like, listen, I stopped fighting the universe because she's a very petty bitch. Like, if you don't do what she wants you to do, she's gonna fuck shit up for you. She's gonna be like, oh, word? You don't want to listen to me? Bet. Bam. Now suffer. And it's just like, damn, I'm sorry. And that's what that reminds me of. Yeah, like... It's gonna bite you in the ass. You don't listen to what people say, like, well, I pray to my angels and whatnot, but, like, are you doing the work? Are you listening to them when they give you signs? If not, they're gonna fuck you over. They're gonna be like, oh, really? You're gonna ignore my signs? Boom. There you go. I abandoned you, bitch. Don't talk to me no more. And that's kind of how the universe works. You fight it, it's gonna bite you in the ass. If you accept it and let it work for you while you're doing the work, it's gonna fall into place. And it's so interesting how they use that for Supernatural and also Legion. That's kind of how I saw it at.
Yeah.
Like, it's just the universe where they were just like, you know what? I'm fucking tired of you guys. I'm tired of you guys doubting me. You know what? Boom. Suffer. I don't care. And it's just like, damn, sorry. I'm sorry.
I didn't mean
it. I just have trust issues.
Word. Well, I guess before we get out of here, I guess my last question. What do you think the future horror films look like with religion involved? Do you think things changed? What do you think will be improved? What do you hope for, I guess?
I don't know. I feel like it's not gonna change because, I mean, we're still having possessed like movies to this day because that whole genre is never gonna end. It's never gonna die. It's never gonna end. What I like to see more foreign films utilize religion in their own aspect, I feel like that's gonna keep going, especially with what's going on in the world. People are going to keep writing stuff that's relatable, that's relating to what's happening, and they're going to showcase it into the world. Like, La Llorona, you know, he based it on something that's real, and it's fucking relatable now. That movie's so relatable. And I feel like, for us American filmmakers, it's not going to be it's going to be the same bullshit of like, you know, she's possessed, But for foreign films, I feel like it's going to thrive a lot. Storytelling wise, cinematic wise, director wise, and that's what I'm hoping for. I'm looking forward to that.
But I'm even hoping that we get more, not just a religious text kind of in movie form, but the backstory for some of this stuff. I don't know. I'm just really falling in love with the idea of like creatures with backstories. I really like that for like Juhan and Ringo and all that stuff. I really like these monsters and their backstories. Really interesting. And I think even for that movie on Shudder that I mentioned, I think it's called like the creature in that, it is a woman. And they kind of briefly mentioned the backstory of her. And I'm just like, hold up, that sounds like a cool film in of itself. Like, I want to see that film too. that might be a better film than this film I'm watching now. Like, I kind of want to see that because, you know, I don't really read religious texts much or anything like that. But there are some interesting stories. You can, like, you know, remove the fact that some people get really fanatic about this stuff. There are some interesting stories.
Yeah. I mean, again, look at Guillermo del Toro, who's notorious for that. For having the monsters have backstories and voices and having to be like, you know, I didn't ask to be like this, but you're being dicks to me. And yeah, like he's the G when it comes to that. Other filmmakers still are good at that. But yeah, I agree. Like, I definitely want more backstories of like these creatures, these monsters that, you know, it's not their fault they're like this, not their fault they're walking around cursing people. It's like, well, then who cursed them?
Yeah.
Who did them dirty? You know, like, who did it? Tell me. I'll beat them up for you. Tell me.
But, yeah, we can get out of here. You take us.
All right. So this is our sound off for Hispanic Heritage Month. Well, actually, no. It goes on to October, so it's still going on. But also, Hispanic Heritage Month happens, like, every day, just like how Black History happens every day. And Asian American Pacific Islander month happens every day, and of course Indigenous Month, which is coming up in November, that happens every day, 365 days of the week, 24/7. And with that, I will end with saying, ooh, you ghost goodbye.